Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the May 2017 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
I'm Kelly Royster, and this class is Speaking in Tongues, It's Not Just for Missionaries, or How to Become the Polyglot You Always Wanted to Be. Right? Everybody in the right place? Okay, great. All right, so before we get started, I have to stand out of the way. Okay, I have just a couple of questions for you, okay? First question. Is there anyone here die Nederlands spreekt?
Are you going to have... I have no idea.
Spreek je Nederlands? Waar heb je geleerd? Opzending. Oh, okay. Goed zo. Okay. Ik ook. All right. Good. Another question. ¿Hay alguien aquí que habla español? Okay. Muy bien. ¿Hay alguien aquí que habla muy bien?
Muy bien.
Okay. All right. Okay. Last question. I have to look at my screen really close for this one. It's been a while. Yo ren hui shuo zhong guo ma.
What?
You do? That's awesome. Okay, good. All right, so what languages did I just speak? Does anybody know? Chinese, Italian, Spanish. Who said Dutch?
It was Dutch.
Very impressive.
I heard some words from German, but I was like, that's not...
It was Dutch. Very good. So we've got a Dutch speaker back there. I did not speak Italian. That was Spanish. And I do not speak Italian. Okay, good. All right, so our class today, we're going to talk about the language not being just for missionaries, but I'm going to just tell you really quick a little bit about me. We got the bio, but just a little bit more information. So I am a former BYU Cougar. And at BYU, I studied linguistics, which is the study of?
Language.
Okay, excellent. I'm impressed that you know that. A lot of people have no idea what that means. Okay, so I also have what's called a TESOL certificate, which basically means that I can teach English to people who don't speak it natively. And I am currently pursuing my master's degree from Cornerstone University. So that is... my background, my education. I also served a mission in Holland, just like your dad, right? And Holland. What's the correct name of Holland? Holland is like a nickname. Anybody know?
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Very good. You're smarter than I thought you'd be. Okay, good. So, all right. I also speak Spanish relatively well. I'm not as fluent in that, but my husband served a Spanish-speaking mission, and we use Spanish whenever we don't want the kids to understand. Unfortunately, they're learning a little bit too much, so I'm going to have to teach them some Dutch. Okay, in college, I took 3 semesters of Mandarin Chinese, and I don't remember much, except that I loved the language. It was a lot of fun when I was taking it. I also took 1 semester of Hebrew, of which I remember nothing. And I also have danced ballet and taught ballet for years and years and years, so I know lots and lots of French words and what they mean, mostly verbs, couper, sauter, retirer. And I could not carry on a conversation with a Frenchman if I tried, because I do not speak French. So I've got some exposure to language, but I don't know all of them. Okay. All right, so in this class, we're going to talk about how to learn a language. How many languages can you speak? So we've got some languages up here on the board. Raise your hand if you recognize, and English doesn't count, one of these languages. Tell me what it is.
Chinese.
Chinese down there. Okay, does anybody know how to what that means in Chinese? Okay, do you know it in Chinese? He Ping. It's peace. Right. Okay. So, any other languages? Oh, wait a second. You answered. Get a piece of candy.
Sweet.
Okay.
Thai.
Is that?
That is Hindi.
This one right here?
That's Hindi.
That is actually Hindi.
Oh, I said that.
That's Hindi. All right. What else?
Arabic.
Got Arabic right there. Good. What else? Spanish where? Okay, right here we got Spanish. Good job.
Hebrew.
Hebrew. Very good. Right here. What is that? What is it in Hebrew? Anybody know?
Peace.
Yes, in Hebrew. Shalom. Everybody knows that, right? Shalom. What else? Any? Are we missing any?
French.
Okay, what else?
German.
Give it to somebody else. Okay. What else?
Italian.
Hungarian.
Would that be? I don't remember what language that's in. Sorry. I don't think it's Italian, though. All right. Did you have one? What language is it? Italian. I don't think it's Italian. I can't remember what language it is. It might actually be Romanian. Okay, good. So, next question. How many languages are spoken in the world? How many languages exist? How many are there? I'm going to point to you. We're going to do something really strange today. We're going to pretend like we're in public school. I know it's going to be really hard, but I need you to raise your hand just because we have so many people here. Okay, so I'm going to call on you.
6,500 to like 7,000.
Did you do that without Google?
It's on your paper.
What?
Oh, it's on the paper. Oh, totally. You totally cheated.
But I haven't seen the paper.
It's in your guidebook. So 6,500 languages spoken in the world today. 6,500 different languages spoken in the world, right? Okay, so let me ask you this. How many people speak English in the world, do you think?
Lots.
600 million.
Guesses? 25 to 50% of the world population. Okay, so many of these languages are what we call dying languages. So what that means is that the people who speak them, there are only a few people left who actually speak these languages. This happened in the United States quite a bit in our history with Indian languages. They were considered barbaric languages, and when the Indian children were taken in by the white people to be educated or sent to the white schools, they were forbidden from speaking their languages. So only the elders of the tribe, their parents and everybody, kept that language, but the children never learned their languages. And so a lot of those languages died, not to mention some of the tribal populations that died out by, you know, disease and starvation and things like that. So those languages disappeared from the earth. So even though we have 6,500 languages today, several of them are dying, and there were many, many more languages that existed before we lost those languages. Just a quick note, my sister-in-law is up in Alaska this weekend. She sent me an article about a group of Indians up in Alaska who are complaining about their children not being educated in their native language and only in English. So they're losing that language too, and they're fighting for that language to be reinstituted. So I'm going to give you a little quiz. Don't say anything yet, okay? I'm going to quiz you, see what language they speak in these countries and see if you know it. We're going to start out really, really easy, okay? So let me tell you really quick about this country. This country is in Europe. I'll give you a little geography lesson along with it. It's across the channel from England, as you can see. I'm bordered by several other countries on its other side. One very interesting fact about this country is that its very first temple will be dedicated this Sunday, May 21st, 2017, in the capital city of Paris. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you love to be there? Okay, easy one. What language do they speak in France?
French.
Okay, if you've already got candy, don't raise your hand. Okay, good. There are also some 30 dialects spoken there, and English is the second most common foreign language. So,
what's the first most common foreign language?
I think it was Arabic, but I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that. Okay, this is Brazil. Let me tell you a little bit about Brazil. This country is located in South America. It boasts the longest river in the world, which is called the... There is controversy whether it's the Nile or the Amazon, but it is. Okay, it has, anybody know how many operating temples?
Five. Seven.
Six operating temples, two under construction, and two more announced. So, what language do they speak here?
Portuguese.
Okay, so Portuguese. There are also 80 Amerindian languages as well. That's American Indian. American referring to the continent, not our country, right? So, by the way, if you talk to people from Mexico or South America, they're Americans, by the way, just so you know, because sometimes they get really offended because they are Americans. They live in America, South America, North America. We're not the only Americans. Okay. All right, so that is Portuguese. All right, next one. Don't shout out, I'm going to give you a little background. This is Denmark. This country has one operating temple, which opened in 2004. It is located in Scandinavia between Norway and Sweden, and it is home of fjords, Viking history, and the original Ragnarok legend. All right, what language do they speak?
Danish.
Very good. All right, so Danish, and also officially recognized are German, Greenlandic, and a language I've never heard of, Faroese.
Yeah, from the Faroe Islands.
On the Faroe Islands, okay. All right, next one, India. India currently has no temples and none announced. It does have 13,141 members of the church, two missions, and 43 congregations. So the church is growing in India. I just have to just put in a quick story. After I got back from my mission, I taught English as a second language at the MTC. We do have some missionaries that come into the country that need a little remedial help with their English before they go out to serve their missions. And so I taught there, and I had a sister come in who was from India. She was one of the first missionaries from India to go out on a mission. She was adorable. She was about this big around, just tiny little things. She had a nose ring for which she had gotten special permission from President Hinckley to wear. She came in a couple weeks later without it and said, I can go without. If all the other missionaries can go without nose rings, I can go without a nose ring. So she was an amazing, amazing little girl. Anyway, so the church has been strong in India since, well, it's been about 20, 25 years ago. So it is growing down there. Okay, what language is spoken in India?
Lots of them. Which one do you want to hear?
Okay. Who said Hindi?
I did.
So, very good. Hindi is the most widely spoken language in India. However, there are about 122 major languages spoken in India. 122 in one country. These are some of the languages. There are also 1,599 other languages. So not as widely spoken, little tiny languages, but that's the total of languages. There's another more popular language in India. Anybody know another one?
Urdu.
Arabic. Urdu. English is spoken there quite widely, but it's interesting because that's why the Indian sister, was in my class. She grew up learning English. They all learn English, but it's very hard for us to understand because it's a very different English. And so they come over here knowing English and having to relearn the language so that they can communicate with Americans. Okay. South Africa, one of my favorite countries. Hold on just 1 second. Let me give you some background on this one, okay? One temple in operation, one under construction. Yes, Johannesburg has been there for a while. South Africa was the first country in Africa to have a temple. All right, I put up two maps. I hope that you can see right here. Whoops, there are two little countries within South Africa, Lesotho and Swaziland, okay? So, South Africa is another place, as you probably know, where many languages coexist. So I have a question. Who can tell me what the number one most commonly spoken language in South Africa is? Not English.
Africans.
Not Afrikaans.
French.
Not French.
Portuguese.
Not Portuguese.
Swahili.
Nope.
Dutch.
Nope.
Kosa.
Nope.
Nope.
Zulu.
So close.
So that is correct. Zulu is the number one most widely spoken language. Second most widely spoken language in South Africa. Not English. Xhosa. Xhosa. Everybody try it. Put your tongue on the roof of your mouth and pull it down. Xhosa. Xhosa. Xhosa is the second most widely spoken language in South Africa. All right, third most widely spoken language. I just gave it away. Afrikaans. Where does Afrikaans come from? Anyone know? Anyone know? Oh, come on. You got to know. Dutch, okay. If you go down there to South Africa, it's fascinating. They have, if you go to Utah, you see all the pioneer monuments. You go to South Africa and you're like, am I in Utah? You see all the pioneer monuments because they called them the Voortrekkers. And they went and they settled the country. The Dutch went down there, Dutch Europeans, and they settled the country. And obviously they had a hard time with the natives, kind of like we did with the Indians, right? And it wasn't a very friendly relationship. And so they have lots of monuments to them. So Afrikaans, the Dutch speakers, I can understand Afrikaans more or less because I speak Dutch, but it sounds like baby Dutch. They don't conjugate their verbs as much. It's just very different, but it's similar because it comes from Dutch. Okay, how about the fourth most widely spoken language in the country?
English.
Fourth most widely spoken language is English, and there are several more languages that are spoken there, including Nor Soto, Swana, Soto, Tsonga, Swazi, Venda, and Ndebele. Ndebele. Sorry, said it wrong. All right. Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is sandwiched between the Russian Federation and China, as you can see, and it's got lots of Black Sea water frontage, okay? So if you live in Kazakhstan, your temple district is in Kyiv, Ukraine. So that's why I put this big map up here so you could see. Here's Kazakhstan, and you've got to go all the way over here to get to your temple. The first baptism in Kazakhstan was in November of 1999, so it was not that long ago. A woman by the name of, I apologize for butchering it, Yazigul Tugulbayeva. There are currently 212 members of the church in Kazakhstan. Do you think we have 212 right here? Maybe about the same? Maybe? Not quite? Okay. Two congregations in the country of Kazakhstan. What is the official language of Kazakhstan? No. It's not Ukrainian. It's not Russian.
Arabic?
Not Arabic. Is this one for me? Kazakh. Kazakh. Okay. So Kazakh is the official language of Kazakhstan. Also, there is one other semi-official language, and it is, of course, Russian. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to read through a list. I didn't put them up here on this slide, but I'm going to read through a list of some of the other languages that are also spoken in Kazakhstan, see if you recognize any of these languages. German, Tajiki, Tatar, Turkish, Ukrainian, Uyghur, Uzbek, as well as Dungan, Ili Turki, Ingush, Plautdich, and Sinti-Romani. I think that's a gypsy language. Well, I don't know if that's politically correct to call them gypsies, but that's what they call themselves, the Romani, the Roman. Okay, so lots and lots of languages that are spoken in this little country. Have you ever even heard of some of those languages before? Isn't that fascinating to know that there are all those languages out there that people speak these natively in their homes? We've never even heard of these languages. I think it is, anyway. All right, so how many languages do you speak? So raise your hand if you speak one language.
Fluently or not fluently?
One language fluently. I should hope you've got one fluently. Okay, one language speakers. Very good. Most of you are one language speakers. That means you are a monolingual. You are a person who speaks one language on a regular basis, okay? Taking Spanish three times a week does not count as bilingual. Okay, so bilingual, what does that mean?
Two languages.
But, what makes you a bilingual? Is it because you took a few classes and you can say hello, how are you? What makes you a bilingual? What do you think?
You're able to use two languages to get around, to do more than get around from point A to point B.
Okay, so use two languages to do more than just get around.
I think it's the ability to think in that language.
The ability to think in that language. Okay. Any other thoughts on bilingualism? When you're able to hold a conversation with a native and understand. Any other thoughts on bilingualism? It's kind of up.
I feel like just when you use it every day, when you talk to other people and you just you talk to them, you just use it almost every day.
So that kind of hits the nail on the head. He said when you use it every day. And that's the thing, because if you speak a second language and then don't ever use it, you can lose it. Ask any return missionary, okay? If you continue to speak it and use it, even if you're not perfect in your grammar, even if you're not perfect in your communication like you are in your native language, you're still considered bilingual because you use that language on a regular basis. Whether or not you speak it at home, whether or not you feel like you're comfortable in it, you can talk to somebody and communicate in that, and you use it regularly. All right, so this last one is a polyglot. It almost kind of sounds like an insult, you polyglot you, right? It sounds kind of funny, but polyglot just means, basically, a person who is able to use more than two languages fluently. And again, remember, fluent is kind of a fluid term. So fluent means that you're able to communicate with other people in that language on a daily basis, but not necessarily that you're perfect in that language, okay? So let's look now at, let's take it from a slightly different point of view. I'm going to have to read a lot on this one because I'm trying to formulate my thoughts. It's kind of hard to read, but up here we have a scripture. This is from the King James Version, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Is that a little confusing? It's kind of hard to understand exactly what they're saying. I prefer the Joseph Smith translation. It made a little more sense to me, so I'm going to read that to you. In the beginning was the gospel preached through the Son, and the gospel was the Word, and the Word was with the Son, and the Son was with God, and the Son was of God. The same was in the beginning with God. So what I like about this is they're using the word Word, and Word we associate with language, right? And so in the first verse, they're associating the Word or language with Jesus Christ, which makes it powerful. But in the second one, it comes across a little more clearly. That it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's significant. Not only does it make more sense than the previous passage, it equates the gospel with the word or language. It goes on to say that the Word, meaning the gospel, was with the Son. Now, when the Spirit communicates to us, when you think about times when you felt the Spirit and you knew absolutely, without question, that it was the Spirit. Think about some of the classes that you've gone to today where you really felt the Spirit. And what this speaker said to you and how you felt as you listened to that. When you feel the Spirit and when you feel that communication, your understanding is perfect. Your communication is perfect. But because we are mortal and we're imperfect, we use an imperfect form of communication, which is spoken or signed language, okay? And that's our imperfect form of communication. So when your mom says to you, "Take out the trash, please," you might think, okay, I better take out the trash before tomorrow morning when the garbage pickup is, and I need to get that trash out there. When what she really meant was, take out the trash right now because it's making my house stink, right? So you're communicating, and she said words, and you understand those words, but the communication's not perfect. But whenever we have communication with the Spirit, it is always perfect. The scripture says that the gospel is the Word. What does that mean? The gospel means what? What does that mean? Anybody know what gospel means? We know that the gospel is the good news, and it says that this word or good news was with the Son. So the words of Christ in his gospel are the things which he taught or which are recorded as scripture. And when we read or hear his words, the Spirit will make up the difference in our imperfect communication by carrying truth into our hearts. So Christ's gospel is the Word and the clear communication from our Father in heaven. So I like to think about that with language. Language is not perfect. We know that. But it also is the way that our Heavenly Father communicates to us when we feel his Spirit and we hear his words, and those two together make clear and perfect communication for us. All right. So why learn a language? Okay, that's a good reason. What's the very first reason to learn a language? Because God said so, right? Let's read some scriptures where he tells us to learn a language. And set in order the churches, and study and learn, and become acquainted with all good books, and with languages, tongues, and people. Doctrine and Covenants 90:15. For any of you know your English grammar, what form are these verbs in?
English.
They are in English. What's the form that they're using, the verb form?
Command form.
It is a command form. Do you see that? He's not asking. He's not suggesting. That's a command form, right? Set in order the churches, study and learn, become acquainted with all good books and with languages, tongues and people. Become acquainted with them, okay? So he's giving us a command. And this gospel shall be preached unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people. It shall be. Notice when the scriptures say shall be, you better pay attention, okay? Because it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. So shall be preached to every tongue and people. So we have a large portion of our missionary force sitting right here in this room, right? And you're going to go out, and some of you are going to preach that language in English, and you are going to fly because you have that language already learned. And others of you are going to learn a language, and you're going to cry and struggle until that gift of tongues kicks in, and you're going to be awesome. So just remember that. Okay, foreign languages are not just for missionaries, of course. I've got a few quotes here. Goethe, if anyone's heard of Goethe, I'm sure you have in your studies. Those who know nothing of foreign languages know nothing of their own. And along those same lines, you can never understand one language until you understand at least two. And I really like those two quotes because I think it's so true. Once you begin to study your language and you understand it better and then study another language, everything is so much clearer and so much more, so much easier to understand. Nelson Mandela, famous leader from South Africa, said, if you talk to a man in a language he understands, it goes to his head. If you talk to him in his own language, that goes to his heart. And I think that's really neat. I really think that's kind of the crux of the gospel. There are scriptures, like we just read, that say everybody will be taught the gospel in their own language, in their own tongue. Why? Because if you teach it to them in their own tongue, it goes to their heart. So I really like that scripture, that quote. Okay, what are some other reasons to learn a foreign language? Does anybody here have grandparents or parents who speak a foreign language natively? Do you want to be able to communicate with them when you're older?
I kind of already do.
That's great. And if you do, and I have to put in a little spiel here, if you do speak a foreign language, please don't lose it. Please keep speaking that. That is a connection that you have with your family members and your heritage. So hang on to that language. Don't lose it. And if you speak it well enough, teach it to your children so that your children can communicate with parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and extended family. That's a really big deal. All right. And the last reason, which is what we a lot of times learn a language for, but it's probably the worst reason in the world to learn a language, and that is to get into college or to graduate from high school, graduate from college, whatever, okay? So that is probably the least incentive possible for you to learn a language, but that is one of the reasons that we learn it. Okay, so we can't really talk about learning a second language until we talk just a little bit about learning your first language. So language begins in the womb, believe it or not. So it's about 30 weeks of gestational age, and that's when hearing and everything starts to kick in. So the baby's not even born yet, and they start to develop the mechanisms to hear. And they've done studies, and I know it sounds really funny to do studies with infants, but what they do is they give them a little pacifier, and the little pacifier has a sensor in it. And they will have the babies listen to their mother's voices and listen to other people's voices, and they will measure how fast that baby sucks on that pacifier. And that's how they measure whether an infant is responding. And so they all suck on that pacifier so much faster when mama's speaking because they know that voice. They've heard it for weeks in the womb, and they respond to it. They even did a study where they took mothers and had them read Dr. Seuss, a special Dr. Seuss book to the children while they were in the womb. And then after the babies were born, they did the pacifier sucking test. And when they started reading that Dr. Seuss book, oh, they were sucking on those pacifiers so fast. So they love to hear their mother's voices, and they hear it and they understand it long before they're born. All right. At about 4 to 6 months, they start babbling, which is adorable. And when they babble, of course, those are sounds that don't make any sense, but they use inflection. I heard Justin Young talking to you about inflection, so I hope you know what that is. In English, we don't use a whole lot of inflection when we speak, but most of our sentences kind of go down at the end. But when we ask a question, usually we go up. So how old are you? Listen to the inflection of my voice. How old are you? Do you see how it goes up at the end? And then another example would be, what time is it? And you can ask it with a down inflection, like, what time is it? You know, but that implies something else. If you're asking a question in English, we usually, our inflection goes up at the end. What time is it? So listen to people and notice that they use inflection. So this babbling, the babies do the babbling, and it's hilarious because they use inflection, even though they're not speaking. right? And they use that inflection when they're talking, and we love it. It's adorable. Okay, and then about 8 months, you understand about 17 words. Can you speak at 8 months? No. They don't usually start speaking until they're a year. Some babies, this is a very general rule. All children are on their own timetables, right? But in general, they start speaking at about a year, but they can't understand yet. So remember that when you're learning a language, you will be able to understand a whole lot before you're able to speak. You'll be always be able to understand more than you can speak, but especially when you first start learning the language, you'll be able to say, and not say anything else. So that's okay. All right, so how long does it take for a child to learn his or her first language? Any guesses? What do you think? 17,000 hours. Wow, that's a good guess. I'm looking for years. I don't have it. 5 years? 2? 3? 3? Okay, 3 years, basically. 3 years to learn their first language, to become fluent in their first language. Now, does that mean that they know every word in the English language?
Of course not.
No, neither do you, right? Okay, so you're still learning. But at about 3 years old, they're able to speak fluently and able to communicate. And for the most part, they're able to use all of the correct grammar. They're still working on a few grammar rules. My four-year-old still, you know, uses ED for a lot of past tense verbs that are irregular, and she'll still say, you know, she'll still say the ED word rather than using the correct form. But for the most part, at 3 years old, they've become fluent. It takes 3 years for them to learn their language. All right. How about adults? How long does it take an adult to master a second language? What do you think? 2 years? 5 years? What do you think?
More than
10. More than 10. What do you think?
6 years.
6 years? Yeah? Okay. So here's the thing. What do you think? You're all correct, because everybody's kind of on their own pathway. So there are lots of different answers to this, okay? Have you ever listened to someone who is from another country speak English, and how do they speak? Do they speak perfectly and flawlessly? Do they sound like a native speaker of the language? What do you think?
Sometimes they speak flawlessly and you don't even know they're from another country.
How often does that happen?
I don't know.
What do you think?
1 out of 10.
Isn't that funny? So that was a Chinese exchange student who spoke with a British accent. Yes. So it's very interesting to listen. When you are between the ages of 2 and 6 years old, your accent more or less solidifies. And after that, there are very few people, it is possible, but there are very few people who can actually speak a second language with no trace of an accent. Most of us will have an accent after about 2 to 6 years of age for the rest of our lives. Does that mean that you cannot learn the language? No, of course not. You can absolutely learn the language, but you will almost always have an accent. All right, so I had this picture up here. I couldn't really get a good picture. During my class, I told you that I'm studying to get my master's degree right now, and during my class, we were studying about this very subject and talking about how long it takes someone to learn a second language. And they brought up two examples. And the first example were State Department employees, United States State Department employees. These are people who have been tested for what's called language aptitude, which means that you're really good at learning languages. We can tell because we've tested you and we know you're good at this, okay? And so these people, State Department employees, are often sent different places. My cousin, in fact, is a State Department employee. He served his mission in Holland, as well as I did. He also spoke French because he actually was in Belgium most of the time. And he was sent as a State Department employee to Germany. So he had to go into an intensive course and learn German. And so that's kind of what State Department employees do. So any idea how long it would take them to learn their language? State Department employees? 6 months?
6 months. Depends on the person.
Depends on the person? 6 months? What do you think?
3 months.
3 months. Is that firsthand knowledge?
I know people who can do that.
People who can do that. Okay. So... average for State Department employees was between 7 and 9 months. 7 and 9 months for the State Department employees. And they go into an intensive program where they're learning the language all day long. So that was the average for State Department employees. All right. The second group of students that we were studying, and this is not an LDS school, I was kind of fascinated to see this pull up, Mormon missionaries. They brought up our language schools, the MTZ. And they talked about the Mormon missionaries and how long it took them to learn a language. Let's see. So how long do you think it takes Mormon missionaries? And now, I don't mean just to learn. I mean to become fluent. So how long do you think it takes them to become fluent?
6 months.
8 months. Okay. Remember, we're pretending like we're in public school. Okay.
7 8 months.
Not 7 or 8 months.
A year and a half.
Nope.
5 months.
Who hasn't had?
A year.
You got it. Okay. What? I bet he did. Now, again, these are averages. These are averages of how long it takes them to learn. But on average, Mormon missionaries become fluent in their language within a year. Okay? So when you are sitting in the MTC crying because you cannot get Japanese, remember, you've got a year. Okay? It's going to be okay. You're going to get that language. All right. Now, does everyone learn? Do all adults learn in a year or 7 to 9 months? No. Well, they don't. And we know, I have people, I'm teaching English classes right now. I've got adults who are coming in who've been in this country for 30 years, and they do not speak a word of English. Okay? What makes the difference for these missionaries, for these State Department employees, and for other people who take a much longer time to learn that language? What do you think? Way back there. Oh, absolutely. The State Department employees don't have that, though. What makes the difference? Absolutely the gift of tongues. Call on it, use it, utilize it. You got it. What do you think?
A desire
to learn the language. That makes a big deal. This is what the studies tell us. It's this little word right here. Input. It's how much you get in your brain, how much you're hearing. Missionaries are in the MTC. State Department employees have this program, right, where they are being immersed. That word immersion is a big word in language. They're being immersed in that language all day, every day. They're thinking in it. They're talking in it. They're using it all the time. That's output, interaction, all of those things. That's how they're learning. They have to absorb that language on a constant and regular basis, okay? That's one thing for missionaries. And then they go out in the field and they're talking to people in this language all the time. What about you? If you're not a missionary, can you still do that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Here are some ways that you can increase your input that you can be able to speak the language and learn it better. Eat at an ethnic restaurant and order in your target language. Don't go when it's busy. But go when it's not busy, go to this restaurant and ask the employees if you can speak to them and order in their language. They will be thrilled to talk to you in your language. An American is learning my language in America? Of course they want to talk to you, okay? Take that opportunity. Watch TV, movies, commercials in the target language, and please be careful. They don't rate movies in other countries, okay? So know what you're watching before you watch it. But those are great things that you can do to learn the language. Read children's books in the target language, especially familiar books. Jorge el Curioso, right? We've got George over there. We all know the story of George. You go through and you read it, and it becomes much more easy because you've already understood. Okay, read other materials such as newspapers, blogs, and I highly recommend the Book of Mormon, especially if your language is in the Roman alphabet like we use. If it's in Cyrillic or some other, you know, characters or something, that might be a little bit harder for you. But if you can get that Book of Mormon in another language, then that's excellent, an excellent way to beef it up. Talk to natives whenever and wherever possible. Seek them out and talk to them, especially at church. I'm just going to throw this out there. Culture, I have so many stories I wanted to tell you about culture. Culture and language are so very much linked. Right here we've got Japanese honorifics. You have to use different terms with different people. If you don't know that as part of the culture, you're not going to speak the language correctly, and you're probably going to offend quite a few people. Last culture note, missionaries in Thailand went out to ancient ruins of a temple and sat on Buddha, the Buddha statue, and put their hands on his head. Buddha is a sacred thing to the people in Thailand, and his head is especially sacred because that's where his intellect is. Those pictures that they developed of themselves sitting on the Buddha got them landed in jail for 6 months. You need to understand the culture along with the language, because culture is intricately connected to language. I wanted to have you practice saying the name of the church in a few different languages. My Dutch speaker, did he leave? He left. Oh, he's there. Can you stand up and read this for me? Everybody listen carefully. Very good. Okay. Excellent. How about a native Spanish speakers? Any native Spanish speakers? Okay.
La Iglesia de Jesucristo de los Santos de los Últimos Días.
Very good. All right. Okay. Don't have time to go through this with you. Chinese has tones. Mandarin has four tones. There are other languages that have more anyway. So Mandarin has four tones. And so you have to go, it's either ma, 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 ma. And those are the different tones, right? Okay. And so the language of, or sorry, the name of the church in Chinese. Anybody? Anybody got Chinese under their belt? You want to try it? Excellent. I am now over time, and so I have to end the class, but I just want to tell you that I know that you all can learn these languages and do great because you need to. The Lord commanded it. Good luck to you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.